How many of y'all had a great week? Good deal. Guess what? We'll be praying for the same president we've been praying for the last 4 years. Cool deal? And so no matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, guess what? We're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to hit that to you today because guess what? The more I watched just the shaping of our country and the more feedback that came in, guess what I realized? We're not proclaiming Jesus very well, are we? You know, I don't know about presidents. They come and go. I've survived all of them. Thank glory to God. And I just want to tell you this. We need to pray for President Obama. Many of you have been doing that for 4 years. Let's continue to pray. Now, we also need to pray for the Senate. They need to get some sense. And the House needs to get some sense. And the Supreme Court justices. But then guess what? We need to pray for principals and teachers and leaders and husbands and moms and everybody involved in leadership, okay? So I want you to hear where we got to stay here at Hillview. I just want to be very careful. And I want to give you all a heads up and warning. Some of y'all that old remember this show. How many of y'all remember the show Lost in Space? If you young people were to see it today, it's cheesy, man. I mean, y'all would be dying laughing at what entertained us for 40 minutes. And they had a robot. Remember, Phyllis, they had a robot in it. And Lanny, you remember this because you love this show, Lanny. I bet you did. The blooper and Penny and Will. And a warning, Will Robinson, okay? Here's the warning. Do not be led astray by division. Do not be led astray by division. You follow who?
Jesus.
Now you got to decide if you're going to follow Jesus or not. Because guess what? If all you're going to be is a Democrat on the day of judgment when you stand before God, what's going to happen to you? Anybody know? You're going to hell. Thank you. And if all you are is a Republican when you stand before Jesus in the day of judgment, what's going to happen to you? You're going to hell. And if all you are is an independent, when you stand before Jesus, you will individually go to hell all by yourself. Those things don't lead to salvation. How many of y'all understand that? If all you are is an American, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. There is a difference when you decide to surrender your life to Jesus. Now, some of you are already mad because I'm not tolerant. If you're going to hang out at Hillview, I really want you to hear me so that you will be very, very clear about this. I think that many of you in this room will witness this nation in some bad trouble over the principle that we tolerate everything. So I want to wake you up. That's not a high value. You know why we love to be tolerant in America? Because we're lazy. And that's the easiest position you can take. Everything's all right, que sera, sera. Well, not everything can be all right, because if you got a half a brain, you know there are some things that contradict each other, right? And so I want to talk about what does it mean to live out this attitude of God in a world that may not agree with you. How many of y'all realize if you follow Jesus Christ, most people will not agree with you? They're not going to agree with you. They're not going to like the way you think, the way you put together life, the way you do it. But I'm going to tell you, let's cop an attitude. We need to cop God's attitude in our life experience. God's attitude. Guess what? We need to remember that our job, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We need to share the gospel. How many of y'all glad to know anybody can get saved? It's crazy, man. If y'all going to hang out at Hillview, this is what makes me crazy. I believe God could change any of you. I don't believe anybody's out of luck. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you need to understand. I've done this. I don't believe anybody's out of luck. Well, Pastor Steve, I mean, the psychologist tells me it's because I've come from a dysfunctional background. Well, here's what I know. Everybody comes from a dysfunctional background. If you've met a human being, you have met a dysfunctional mess. True or false? So wake up. I mean, why do we think that's new news? Well, yeah, that's why we have salvation. So let's look at some of the attitudes we've already talked about, and we come to the final attitude today that changes the world from Christ. Well, realize anybody can be changed. Jesus does the changing. We need to be sorry for what we've done. I was not excited about what happened to General Petraeus at all. I do not honor what he did, but I tell you what, I sure do respect a leader. He's always been a leader. And he went and resigned, as he should have. And he didn't blame his mistake on anybody else. He took responsibility for his era of judgment. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen that in our modern day leaders. And that started a long time back. It started in the classroom when we all started growing up. And it was somebody else's fault, but what? All of those of you that teach know that it's always somebody else's fault that little Johnny's not learning, other than little Johnny's chosen not to learn. See what I'm saying? But the Bible tells us when we mourn, we'll be comforted. Know that you've done wrong and that God will forgive you and make it new in you. Remember that one? Blessed are the meek. Be teachable. How many of y'all have come to this conclusion? You may not know everything. Once you get there, man, you can start living. I don't know everything. Some of y'all get mad at me. You ask me some question, you know, like how deep was the water when the Lord flooded the world? Deep enough to drown everybody. That's what I know. Now, I don't know if that's 12 feet, 120 feet, miles of depth. Might have a rhetorical question to that question. Who cares? It was deep enough to float a big boat. Well, I think if you're a preacher, you ought to know the exact depth. I'm not a sonar. I'm a preacher. You see what I'm saying? We reach and grasp for things that don't matter. Blessed are the meek. For guess what? They will inherit the earth. They make a difference. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be merciful. Know that God is on the throne. And last week, Pastor Jamie did a beautiful job on this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will see who? God. Now, I want to challenge us, and I just want us to be biblical. Pray for President Obama. I'm going to be very confessional here. I kind of really took an inventory on his first term, and I think I've complained more than I've prayed. And I read the Bible. He never told me to complain about my leaders. He told me to what? Pray for them. So I want to challenge you, pray for people. Make sense? Pray for people. I'd hate to be president. Y'all think you messed up now. You'd really be messed up if I was president. Because some of you that don't have a job, you'd have a job. Because you'd probably be drafted into military service because I'd have done ticked some other country off and gotten into a fight somewhere and we needed some more people to help us. Make sense? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. You don't want me to run the country. It's better that I pastor the church. But you know what? We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray globally that we are peacemakers and lovers of Jesus Christ. This is real stuff. And then it says this, listen, if you're going to live the ways of God, somebody's not going to like it. They just never liked it. How many of y'all can handle this? Or you've heard this before. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Bull. Words hurt. Words shape. Words project. Whoever said that lied. You go home and call your wife certain words and she will kill you. Words can hurt you, especially if you use them wrong to her. Amen? And well, let me show you how important words are. Words create image, and image creates direction. We need to have encouraging words, but don't be surprised. I want to give you three places. Jesus has not changed. Just if you don't mind, Jesus has not changed. Share that, will you? Go ahead. Jesus has not changed. Come on. Please share that around the auditorium. Jesus has not changed. Elizabeth, Jesus has not changed. The same cross that has saved forever saves today. Does everybody understand? Jesus has not changed. But you and I might if we listen to him. How many of y'all found this? We don't change ourselves very well. Come on, let's just be honest. How many of y'all have ever said, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, and you didn't? Or this one I used to love, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, and what do you think about? Quit. Whatever it was, you weren't supposed to quit. Like, I've tried to cut back on my chocolate a little bit. The other night, I ate 6 Snicker Fun Bite size in a row. You know why? Because I thought I thought about one, and then I started talking about how I needed to cut back, and then I talked myself out of cutting back and said, let us rejoice in the Lord gladly. You see what I'm saying? Tommy, it didn't work because you know what? I'm powerless to change myself. However, I am blessed to have a Jesus that will change everything. How many of you all are blessed to have a Jesus that will change everything? That's the good news. Now, church, I want to call us out. We got to be, let me ask you another question. This is number two. Jesus has never changed, and we're supposed to be about good news. We're supposed to be about good news. Now, I want you to see this. This is going to sound weird. You ready? Go with me to this last beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I just want you to know, if you're going to live out Jesus, they're going to talk about you. And you're going to have people that don't like you. But I want to give you some good news. I have a lot of people that don't like me. I'm just telling the truth. Because I'm going to preach the gospel. And guess what? People get irate at me. Especially when I'm in dialogue and discussion. Dr. Ayers, do you believe there's another way to heaven? No. You racist bigot! I go, guys, you might need to get another one because I pastor like a multi-ethnic congregation. I've been pastoring one of those before it was even cool to do. So you might need to get a new lie. Because see, the devil thinks if you just call people names, they'll back off. But I ain't backing off. I say, I believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, folks, I want you to know, you can get ticked at me all day long. But I tell you what, some of you that hang here and here, on the day of judgment, you'll be glad you stayed. Because on the day of judgment, what are you going to tell the Lord? Well, I added to your plan so that other people will like me. Well, Lord, I thought. You see, eventually today, the reason young people, hey, listen, it's our fault. Do you all think y'all live in a little chaotic world today, or do you all just think this stuff's normal? Let me help you. Being 29 years old, being married, playing Xbox all day long and abdicating your responsibility to take care of your family, not only is that not normal, that is a sorry human being. Now, see, when I say stuff like that, I'm going to get an email because guess what now? Some 31-year-old dude with a master's degree that doesn't take care of his wife and kids is absolutely ticked off now. Why? I just said the truth. But something done crawled up in that boy's mind, a twisted demon, and told him it's all right for him to shirk the responsibility of his wife, his children, and he sits in church and has read some spiritual book where now he goes, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Now, hold on, guys. I'm talking to this young generation. Y'all really think that stuff's going to walk on the day of judgment? You think that junk's going to walk on the day of judgment when you and I stand before a living God who's got scars in his wrist, scar in his legs, and a scar in his side for you and me, and you're going to look him in the eye and say, Lord Jesus, I believe it was permissible for me to waste what you've given me. You really think that's going to be all right? When he clearly states in this book he's got called the Bible that after he saves us, we got to be about something. You know what scares me? Is the people who've sat in church year after year, Sunday after Sunday, that will never receive the kingdom of heaven. Because we have a bunch of mealy-mouth preachers that lied to you. Some of y'all think because you come to church, you're going to be okay with God. Some of you think because when Thanksgiving comes, you gave a poor person a turkey leg, you're a good person. Some of you think because you gave a child that didn't have a Tonka toy, or you gave him a little Game Boy that didn't have a Game Boy, that you are now justified and a good person. None of this is true. The only way that we're connected to the kingdom of heaven is what God said. He said every one of us had sinned. He didn't say some of us had sinned. He didn't say certain types of folks sinned. Guess what he said? All of us. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and tell them. All of us. Go ahead. Please pass that around because we're confused. All of us. Not some of us. All of us.
All of us.
Now, hold on. Crazy. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you're persecuted because of what, Clay? Righteousness. Now, if you're being persecuted for foolishness, you deserve what you get. And yours won't be the kingdom of heaven. It'll be the plundering here on earth. Read the Bible. God won't bless foolishness. In fact, he tells us young men this. Well, not us young men. You young men. See, I won't be accurate. You know, if you look like me, Dwayne, we're in the not young men category. I'm not a young man. Not a young man. Anytime you have hair growing out of your nose and your ears at a rapid rate, you're no longer young. I just help y'all clarify. Or hair appearing where you never imagined, okay? You know, now look, you ready? Just seeing if y'all are awake, and y'all are. Thank you for being awake. We got to get rid of foolishness, and we got to step into righteousness. And so listen, man, I want to call you into righteousness. You've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. And if the world doesn't like it, guess what? God says, you stay righteous. You take care of your family. You raise your kids. You love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. And if they talk about you, guess what you say? Glory to God. I just want y'all to know a lot of people talk about me. And I don't have to take them little butterfly pills to go to sleep. I don't have to take any of them Lunestas or Lunastas or whatever they are. Why? I'm going to do the right thing. If I'm doing the right thing, I don't care what you say. Now, if I'm being foolish, some of you who are wise and righteous need to correct me. If I'm being what? But if I'm doing the right thing, you know what I know the right thing is? People need to get saved. There's only one way to get changed. Cross and resurrection. There's not a plan B. And really what's different in my level and a lot of y'all think there's a plan B. I've shared the gospel with all my family. Why? I don't think there's a plan B. Has all my family received Christ? No. But I don't think there's a plan what? My aunt tells me, how can you be so close-minded? I am. I said, how can you be so foolish? I said, how can you live all your life knowing that your principles failed and still hold to them? Do you all know anything that's changed anybody for a long period of time? See, I'll argue with you. Let's put the proof on the table. Here's all these sophisticated theories. How are they doing? See, I love working with people. Poverty. Have we solved poverty? In fact, guess what? More of it now than there was when we decided to solve it. Why? Who creates poverty? People or God? People! Who solves poverty? God! But we said, God, we don't want you to get in that problem. We're going to take care of that. We're going to have a war on poverty. God says, good luck. Because see, we no longer believe in a God because God's dead, because we've replaced him with sophisticated theories. So here's my challenge. We've been doing this real well since 1960, before many of you were even a twinkle in your parents' eyes. We had these philosophies. You young people, I just get so tickled. What you all think is new, it's really, really old. What y'all think's a new idea are old, old, old ideas. Because there's no new ideas, just repackaged ideas. Now, guess what people of wisdom do? They look at every idea and they ask it a question. Does it work?
God said.
Does it work? I mean, does it really work? So you get to thinking, wait a minute, we spent $4 trillion on poor people and we have more people today than we did before. What should your mind do if it has a granule of logic in it? Maybe poverty's not about money, but it's about attitude. I'm just giving you examples here.
Because guess what? I got good news. Jesus wants the world to get better. You know why people don't like me? I liberate poor people. Poor people hang around me, they don't stay poor very long. Poor people that listen to what I teach them, they don't get to live in poverty very long. People hate me for that. Yeah, they do. They hate me. And other people get mad at me and say, Pastor Ayers, I can't believe so-and-so. They got a job now and they're living real good and they own a house and they can do this and they can do that. And it's not fair. But see, they didn't want to do what the others did. Oh, people hate talking to me. They come in and tell me about their problems. I give them a solution for every problem they got. That won't work. That won't work. I said, you know why you are? Because you won't work. Hold on. No, don't clap about that. That's why I'm where I am too. Because I won't follow what God says. I want to do what I want. How many of y'all got that problem?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like to theorize and go, okay, I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. But then I do what I want to do. Blessed when somebody says something about God in you. How many of you all live out your faith enough that if people even notice who you follow? Now, I know, Dwayne, when we grew up in ministry, they told us that we needed to have lifestyle evangelism, which meant as long as we didn't smoke a cigarette or drink a beer in public, people would know that we follow Jesus. Well, that's why we got a world going to hell. They think we're Buddhist. Salvation has nothing to do with that. We made that up. That's absolutely made up. It's not on one page of Scripture. We made it up. That's why the world's not working. We're following stuff we made up instead of what Jesus said. He told the church to go tell the world about the cross and resurrection. Have we done that? No. We've had potlucks. He did not say in the Gospel of Matthew, go ye therefore and cook. He said, go ye therefore and tell. So we went therefore and cooked, and basically we got a lot of overweight people in his church. And he wanted us to have blessed people, righteous people. Check. How many of you have had something said about you for the Jesus that's in you? It's tough to do the right thing. Watch this. I believe people ought to stay married. People get mad at me for that. I've had couples come in and they go, well, we're not happy. I go, I don't care. You got kids. They look at me and say, Pastor, you think we should stay together in an unhappy state for our kids? Listen to my answer. Yeah! Because guess what lie they're living under? Well, some of you have read the Bible. Where have you read in the Bible that God created us to be happy? Elizabeth, is that in there? I gotta get my wires adjusted. Is that in there? Huh? How many of y'all, where's that in the Bible? Now let me show you where we are. When you stand up and start living for God, guess what happens? You bring heaven on earth. Isn't that the whole principle of the Beatitudes? To bring God's attitude where? To earth. What did Jesus do? Brought heaven to earth. So when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he wanted to leave heaven on so people could find heaven. Now you know why you live. He said, don't be shocked. It's going to happen. He said, rejoice and be glad when all kinds of people say stuff about you. Some of y'all involved in athletics around here. When do people say stuff about you in athletics? When you do bad or when else? When you do really well. I love Nick Saban. I think he's an extraordinary coach. I like Alabama. And guess what? Last night, he cracks me up. I wish our politicians would learn how to talk to the media like Nick Saban talks to the media. He goes, well, we threw a pass and it didn't work. I wish we'd have done a run just like y'all are fixing to ask me. And if the run hadn't worked, y'all would have told me I needed to throw a pass. That's called the game. Next question. Because I don't know about y'all, I think reporters ask dumb questions. Like I was watching the hurricane, folks. Here's a reporter. Somebody, their house has been totally leveled. They got sand all over them. They're itching and scratching. You know, they got sand in their earlobes. And here's a reporter. How do you feel? Well, how you think I feel? My world has been turned upside down. Yeah, I feel horrible at this moment. Rejoice and be glad when? When they say stuff. Now, we got to be careful. I'm just going to give it to you. Some of y'all are going to be extremely mad. Tolerance is not a value that God has. Mercy is. Young people, I know, I'm tugging on Superman's cape right now. Because what have we said is a high value? Tolerance. But tolerance doesn't change anything. It just lets everything be okay. And everything can't be okay. That's called chaos. God says, I have a way and it's good and I want you to be in it. And if you live in that way, guess what? People make fun of you. They'll make fun of you. Guess what? Rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in what? Heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you. Let me give you an example. When Moses got them all to the other side out in the desert, what do people start doing to Moses? Anybody know? 30 days out. Anybody know what they started doing? Wah, 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 wah. This has been going on a long time. Noah, was anybody making fun of Noah when he was building a boat? Oh, they were laughing at him. They thought he was drunk. They would just scourge his God. Think about this. This guy's building a boat in a desert, and they don't even know where the lake is. And Noah's running around telling them, there's a God that's coming, and he's going to rain down judgment. I love Noah because I feel just like him in the 21st century. I'm looking at people, there's a God. Bill Maher says, you follow a mythological character that you made up. Hawkins says, it's only about science. And I'm going, no, there's a God, and he's going to have judgment. Now, guess what? Guess when I'll get real smart? First raindrop. Now, who was the fool? The guy floating in the boat or the people trying to swim in the water? You know what God calls that? Just. By the way, just heads up, it's hard for dead people to argue. When God makes a call, it's final. And that's why he said, rejoice and be glad if they're coming after you because of me. Because great is your reward where? In heaven. He said, hang on, this ain't it. This is not everything there is. Something better's coming. Hang on. And remember, they persecuted the prophets before you. What did they do to Jesus? They nailed him to the cross. And 3 days later, he what? He rose again. Now, let me ask you a question. All of these great philosophers, are any of them willing to take a bullet for what they believe? Are they? Here's who I'm going to listen to. If there's another way to heaven, somebody comes teaching another way to heaven, I think this is what we ought to do. We ought to shoot them on Friday night. And if they can preach on Sunday morning, I want to hear what they got to say. But I don't know anybody that'll stand up and take a bullet for what they believe. Jesus took the bullet so we could believe. He took our sin, our shame, because we couldn't change. And he buried it. He literally sent it to hell. And he arose again on the third day so that we could live differently than ever imagined. Now, how many of y'all want to live that out? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Hillview, they make fun of us. They say we're crazy. We're out of our minds. This Jesus thing doesn't really work. But you know what? I see Jesus working in a lot of y'all. Jack, you don't look like the same dude you did when you came in here. Thank God. Better yet, you do not think nor act like the same man I used to know. Jesus has continued to shape you. Dr. Dan, you're not the same young boy that was married to Now, your bride's still young and beautiful. She looks like she did the day we did that wedding. But you have grown in the Lord. Amen. This is real. It's in pretend. There's a day it all ends. And I just want to encourage you. There's three things we need to do. Jesus has stood up. And now I'm calling you to stand with him. And not everybody's going to appreciate it. Some people are going to think you are crazy. They're going to think you've lost your mind. And then the third thing, guess what? We need to stand together with those who believe. Can y'all remember that? Jesus has stood up, right? On the third day, he did what? He stood up. Good. Some of y'all got that metaphor there. On Friday night, they what? And they laid him. If you're buried, which way direction did it go? They didn't bury him standing up. They laid him down. So Jesus what? Stood up. And now we got to what? Stand up with him and then stand together. I wonder what would happen there. This is my opinion. I think the United States of America needs godly people praying, loving one another as God's called us to love, living out our lives like God's called us to live out our lives. I believe that'll change the nation more than any policy that can ever be drawn up. That's just my personal opinion. That's what we're missing. Cool deal? So, y'all got confidence and strength? You should. How many of y'all glad we're going to heaven? One day, watch this. I love it. One day, we get to eat Snickers all day long and still have a six-pack. And ladies, you can wear any dress you want and eat as much as you want. But until then, let us be watchful and careful. The glorified body's not yet here. But in the meantime, let's put some deposits in heaven. That makes sense. Let's put a few things heavenward. And you're many of those things. Hey, thanks for being a cool church. Y'all brought me a lot of hope this week. I kind of looked at stuff and I thought, you know, praise God. Praise God. Sunday morning I'm going to preach to a lot of folks that have been saved and truly do believe that Jesus is the answer. Now guess what? My young brother, I have no idea where God's going to put you one day. That makes sense. But guess what I know? In Christ, you're going to make a heaven difference wherever it is. Pretty cool, isn't it? So all over Bowling Green. This church, this crazy church. We're all over the world. We had people in from India today. Not Indiana, India. I mean, that's like coming from like Richardsville. Doesn't matter. I want you to go to heaven. Makes sense? So today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, man, today's the day. Can you tell me logically why? And my buddies tell me this. Pastor, I'm going to get saved one day. You know what they're really telling me? I'd like another week in hell. Now, how many of y'all would buy another week? I mean, if I was selling brochures today for weeks in hell, how many of y'all would purchase? I got this week in hell. What do you do there? Anything you want to until you destroy yourself. That's the message of hell. Come, do as you please for a little while. And Jesus is, come and do as I say forever and ever, amen. See the difference in the two messages? Devil does short-term investments. God does forever investments. Not all religion is the same. Jesus comes and saves us. In all other religions, you got to clean up to be approved. Jesus has pre-approved everyone in this room to be saved. Now you got to decide if you want to receive what he's done. Does that make sense? Now some of you are going, well, what do I got to do with salvation? Nothing. But blessed are those who mourn, who say, God, I've sinned against you and I want you in my life. Guess what will happen to you? Guess what's going to happen to some people today? Jesus come in your life. What do you think about that? That's crazy, isn't it? The God that created the universe will come in my life. You know what's crazy? God lives with a wild man and a beautiful blonde. And he sent my two children already out of the house. Praise his holy name. And he loves them and he loves me and he loves you. Guess what? I'm going to show y'all a miracle. Some of y'all are going to graduate. You know a miracle in my life? I graduated from the Western Kentucky University. Many thought that impossible because you had to go to class to graduate. Eventually, I went. And they let me go. I said, set me free. Then I went on and graduated from a seminary. Nobody thought that possible. I've stayed married. Nobody thought that possible. How many of y'all need a script where your life starts living out the possible amidst their impossible? Make sense? Lanny, do people think you and Jill were going to last? Y'all got married young. Jill, did people ever ask you why? What did God say? My story says yes, says Jesus. Right, man, let's get yes. Billy, what about you? Did they say y'all's going to make it? And me either. I said, Elizabeth and I'd never make it. Now, we might not, but we've made it a long time right now. I'm not worried if I can make it or you can make it or if we can make it, because guess who I know has made it? Jesus. And if we follow him, hear the if we follow him, what happens? We make it. You know what I'm talking about, my brother? Because he has made it. So let's stand together today. God's going to do something great in a bunch of people's lives. Thank y'all for being a wonderful church. Remember, he stood up so we can stand with him, and that allows us to stand together no matter what anybody else says. All right, pray with me, guys. Let's get serious. Now listen, this ain't time to leave. It's the time to come. Come to Jesus. So Holy Spirit, that has been here long before we got here, speak to our hearts and minds. Some of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Some of y'all need to say it today. In fact, let's just pray that right now. As I've been preaching and you know you're disconnected from God, guess what? We got some people here who need to be saved. Some of y'all have been faithful today, man. You brought your best friend to church. So right now in this moment, they can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving somebody that much. So right now, I'm just going to ask you, listen, have you received Christ into your life? If you haven't, blessed are you who do this. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. Just tell him. And don't feel bad about that, because the person sitting next to you sinned. The one behind you sinned. The guy talking to you right now is sinned. And tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my what? You tell him, Lord, I guide you in that prayer. Believe that Jesus died and he's risen. And ask him to come into your life. And look at me, you ain't got to close your eyes. I want you to hear this. I've never seen Jesus turn anybody away that repented. Dwayne, I just hadn't seen it happen. I've never seen anybody come to the altar with a sincere heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. And the Lord say, I'm sorry, you're not on our list. Sean, I've never seen it. Billy, I've never seen it. Ben, I've never seen it. So guess what? Today, I know you can be saved. Not because I said so, but because who? Caleb, right? Or Joshua? Your older brother's name, Caleb. Caleb from Kenya. Is the same Jesus that we've talked about in Kentucky the same one that's in Kenya? Yes. That's live from Kenya. Footnote from Kenya. It's the same God worldwide. So today, why don't you come and receive him? Come and receive him. Today, I want us to come and pray for each other. Now, let me ask you a question. I've already repented. How many of y'all have complained about leaders more than you prayed for them? Other than me, who else has done that? Okay, hold on. We get a second chance. Let's pray more than we complain and see what happens to our nation. Amen? Genuinely pray. And don't pray like this. Lord, they ought to see it this way. That's not genuine prayer. That is just bunk. But Lord, direct, guide, strengthen, give. All right, Lord's open, man. The altar's moving. Y'all come on. There's some of you coming. You've already received Christ this week.
You need to be baptized. We want to talk to you about that. You come and we'll get that baptism set up. Hey, listen. I don't know how to be more blunt and more honest. Please, in the name of Jesus, do not fool around with your spiritual destiny in this moment of time. Don't be like the folks on the day of Noah that didn't want to hear about Jesus till the rain started falling. Come and let God touch you right now. Lord, bring those that need to be baptized, those that are being saved, those that need to repent, those that need to be healed, those that need to give thanks. Come on, church, there's more of you. Come, let's pray with one another. God wants to do something big today. Let him have it. Let him have your life. Let him have your moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.